This episode is brought to you by FinditNWA.com, your hyper-local business directory connecting you with the best of Northwest Arkansas. Whether you're looking for a new place to eat, a trusted service provider, or unique local shops, FinditNWA has you covered. We also highlight businesses with a featured listing on the site. That means if you're a small business owner in NWA, you could be next. Discover more at FinditNWA.com.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn. Today on I Am Northwest Arkansas, we're diving into the world of real estate market intelligence with Desiree Stock and Stuart Collier. They are both veteran real estate professionals here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, but Northwest Arkansas as a whole for many years, and they are the driving force behind one of our region's most insightful weekly real estate newsletters. For the past 3 years, Desiree and Stuart have been helping both locals and newcomers understand the intricacies of our rapidly evolving real estate market through data-driven analysis and practical insights. Join us as we explore how this valuable resource is helping shape informed real estate decisions in Northwest Arkansas.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Welcome back to I Am Northwest Arkansas. I'm Randy Wilburn, and I'm here today with Stuart Collier and Desiree Stock. They are both brokers with Collier Real Estate and Colliers and Associates Real Estate here in Fayetteville, but they have multiple offices around Northwest Arkansas. They're dotted all over the place strategically, but we're actually not here to talk about the real estate agency. I actually had Stuart on back in August of 23, it was episode 232, I believe, where we talked about the founding of Colliers and Associates. And I got to say, if you don't know Stuart or you don't know how this company came about, you need to listen to that episode. He has what I would call one of the most uplifting and inspiring stories that I've shared on this podcast over the last 6 years. And I'm proud to call him a friend. And I'm honored that he's back in the studio with me to record another podcast episode. That means I must be doing something right, that he would say yes again. And now he's brought Desiree, so that's even better. But this whole meeting came about because I saw a website that I was just blown away by. And that website is NWA Look. And the website is a newsletter. It's a well put together newsletter that just talks about the real estate marketplace in Northwest Arkansas. And if you look at this newsletter, it's almost unbranded. You wouldn't even know who it's tied to. It's just, you're like, man, somebody just has been spending a lot of time and putting a lot of effort and doing a lot of research into providing in-depth information about the local real estate market here in Northwest Arkansas. And if you are thinking about moving here, or if you already live here, or if you're a lifer, this is a really good newsletter that gives you a clear understanding of what's happening on the ground as it pertains to the real estate market. I know a lot of you are saying, man, Randy, it's so expensive now. It's hard to find what you want. I get it. I moved here in 2014. It was insane how inexpensive things were. I could have just bought two or three things in Bentonville at that time. Now I can't touch anything in Bentonville. I can barely touch something in Fayetteville, but we're working on it. That's why I need everybody to listen to this podcast so I can buy another house. I'm just kidding. No, seriously though, these guys have really put their foot into it and have created what I think is a very, very special resource that speaks volumes about who they are as individuals, but also as real estate brokers. And so that's why I wanted to have them come on the podcast and really talk about this whole idea of the real estate market in Northwest Arkansas. We've had a few conversations around the real estate market here, but I think this is kind of a fresh look. And it's one of those conversations that I probably need to have at least annually, if not more frequently, to to give those that are thinking about coming here an idea about what they're coming into, right? Because not everybody's going to come here with California money and or Texas money or something like that. Sometimes people are going to be relocating here from a neighboring state, and they may their money may not go as far as somebody from one of the coasts might if they have sold a property there and are relocating to Northwest Arkansas. So I think this is an important episode for everybody to listen to. And especially if you're trying to convince somebody to move here, you need to share this newsletter with them because I think it will give them a really good understanding of where the market is, where it's been, and more importantly, where it's going. So that was a long-winded intro there. But Stuart and Desiree, how are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. And I want to say I consider you a friend,
yes,
Randy.
Absolutely.
And last time that I was on your podcast, I had two or three people reach out to me and was able to share some more of my personal story with.
Really?
And make some connections there.
Okay.
And so because of you, hopefully I got to be some benefit in somebody's lives that I otherwise wasn't going to meet.
Well, you know, and that's what I tell people. I mean, we, you know, your testimony is everything. And your testimony, you specifically, Stuart, was very special to me just hearing it and relating to it in a lot of ways, but more importantly, relating to how you overcame some of the obstacles that were in your the early part of your life and the fact that, you know, as long as you're not out, you're not out.
That's right. That's a beautiful message. That's regardless of what it is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You're above ground.
Yes.
You still got a chance,
baby. Absolutely.
There's always hope, my friend.
Yeah.
Well, what's cool, too, about this real estate thing is talking with you about it. I don't know if everybody knows this, but Randy was a broker for 8 years in Boston,
12 years, actually.
12 years,
you're shortchanging me some years.
Boston.
In Boston,
is that true?
Yeah, in Beantown.
And so Randy gets it.
Yeah,
you know, Randy's fun to talk to. He gets it. He knows exactly the terminology and the wording and what to look at. So that's always fun.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And I appreciate that. And you know, it's funny because once a realtor, always a realtor, mm-hmm. I think, you know, and you're always you look at houses differently. Your lens mm-hmm. is different as a realtor. You mm-hmm. both know that.
Yep.
And so I can really appreciate what you guys are doing. That's why, again, when I saw the newsletter NWA Look, I was like, oh, I got to stop and take a closer look at this. Even before I knew it was tied to you guys.
Gotcha.
Then once I got the connection, I was like, oh.
I know that, dude.
This makes perfect sense. I get it. I get it. And so I wanted today to maybe kind of unpack, Desiree, the story of how this began. You personally have about 11 years of experience in the industry. You started out in Florida and you established yourself here in Northwest Arkansas. And you are the primary content creator and market analyst for this weekly newsletter. And so I would love for you to kind of talk about 3 years ago when you guys were talking about putting this together, what was the conversation like?
So I feel like it creates transparency in transactions in general. So from both sides, whether it be my side or, you know, a buyer seller side, if they can see the numbers, there's no longer the emotional attachment. You know, you get attached initially, but if you have two homes you love and you can create the data in one area that sounds better than the other, or not necessarily sounds, but it's presented better in long term, it makes an easier decision for the buyer to purchase a house, say in Bentonville versus out in Gentry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because you can see the numbers increasing over time faster in Bentonville than you can in Gentry.
Yeah. Which, you know, which is crazy because when you look at the different price points of homes, it's there are some differences, some really distinct differences mm-hmm. between the four major cities, which is always going to be Fayetteville at the bottom, Bentonville at the top, Rogers and Springdale. And so each city is its own mini real estate micro system.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be aware of what the changes are and the nuances. Mm-hmm. Had you had some experience with doing a newsletter prior to doing this here in Northwest Arkansas?
No, I didn't have any experience with newsletters. I just pulled a lot of data and interpreted it on my own and maybe did some Facebook posts.
Well, and that's something I think people don't appreciate. A good realtor knows their way around doing analysis of property values. When a lot of times back in the day, I can remember we would have people would come to us and do a kind of a mini appraisal. Homeowners' analysis of mm-hmm. what the value is of either their property or some other property that they're considering purchasing. And, you know, if you could tell whether a realtor was worth their weight, if they, you know, were able to bring you back good data points that could help you make an informed decision, whether that decision was to sell, whether that decision was to hold because maybe the market timing is not quite what you want it to be.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, this is the perfect time to buy.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think putting numbers in front of people, even showing them a seller's net sheet, can help explain what their next step should be, whether they wait or they sell now.
Yeah. So coming from Florida to Northwest Arkansas, what has been your biggest experience about this area as it pertains to real estate more than anything else, right? Because, you know, when you think of like Florida, I always think of like, a lot of people relocate to Florida or a lot of people buy a second home in Florida. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different than Northwest Arkansas, but maybe not, right? Because Bella Vista is a prime place for retirement, but now it's also a prime place where people are buying homes as a second home, as a place to come if they want to really partake of the, and I'm using air quotes now, the Ozarks. You know, it's like, let me have a little piece of this. Mm-hmm. And so what has been your biggest takeaway since you got here to Northwest Arkansas?
I would say it's actually very similar to where I grew up. I grew up in Naples, Florida.
Oh, Naples is a nice area.
And so it was a giant melting pot. Initially, it was a farm town when I was growing up. It was cows and tomato farms. And now all we have is million-dollar plus houses. You know, we're not quite there here in Northwest Arkansas, but I do project that we'll be unaffordable at some point.
Yeah. You know, and that's the only, I mean, in making that statement, while at one point it's like, wow, okay, the property values have risen to such a point where, you know, it's going to get really expensive. The downside of that obviously is that that means that you're going to price some people out of being able to buy in this marketplace, right? And and here's the newsflash for a lot of people. It's not like Northwest Arkansas's fault that they don't have enough housing stock. It's, you know, the housing stock issue goes all the way back to 2008 when we had the financial meltdown. They stopped building. And then every year they were not producing enough homes. And so by the time like we got out of the financial meltdown, we were still like 4 to 5 million homes in the hole. Then we had this little thing called the pandemic come in 2020, which slowed everything up again.
Yeah.
So it put us even in an even larger hole.
Correct.
Which I don't think a lot of people appreciate. It's like, you know, it's not like nobody wants to build. People want to build. They want to create new opportunities. But it's like, it's really hard to catch up with the deficit that we have from a lack of built homes over the last 2008 to 2025. You're talking, what, 18 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very good point. We could still use more inventory.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what people don't realize, and for your listeners out there that want to be kind of in the know of real estate and development in Northwest Arkansas, Randy, it's becoming almost less about structure housing and more about infrastructure and more about utilities. We face a big dilemma, a big predicament here, especially in Western Washington County with our sewer system, our wastewater systems, as well as our water infrastructure. And so what's happened is we've had so many people move in, and we haven't really developed and kept the infrastructure up to where it needs to be. So we've got builders that are platted and approved for, I'm telling you, thousands of houses, and they cannot come out of the ground because we don't have the infrastructure to support it. And so it's not always just about, oh, we need builders to build, or, oh, man, the city's charging me too much on my permit fees, or, you know, this, that, and the other. It's about the actual practicality of putting an individual in shelter and allowing them to function. And if they can't function through city utilities, it doesn't matter how many builders that you have are properly motivated. And so there's a big conversation around utilities in Northwest Arkansas, and that's the underlying threat to our increase in inventory.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is, and you're absolutely right. And as we speak, for those of that don't know, down North College, as you get towards North College and Sycamore, there's a lot of work being done. And I didn't know at first what they were doing. I was like, why are they blocking the roads here? And then because of where the new junior high school is going, where Ramey's going, there is not sufficient sewerage and piping in that area to support that junior high school. And that was one of the main reasons why they had to go ahead now and dig up North College to be able to put in larger sewer lines to support that.
Yep.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, and a lot of times people don't think about that. Mm-mm. So between what you're saying, between what I've heard from, you know, Wes Craiglow and the folks at the Urban Land Institute, you know, there's no shortage of opportunities. There's a lot of opportunities to do infill building and all of that, but you have to have the infrastructure, the bones to support it.
That's right.
And without that, it doesn't matter.
That's right.
You could have all the great ideas, every plan in the world to build something, and it's not going to make a difference.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so this newsletter, while it has become kind of like it's taken on a life of its own over the last 3 years, is that how you feel?
It has. I feel like we've grown significantly, especially in the last year. And people are sharing it with, you know, investors, people out of state. I'm seeing it grow where Texas people are subscribing, California subscribing, even the East Coast people
are subscribing.
Are starting to subscribe before they even get here.
Interesting. So are you able to field any questions that people have about the marketplace, or how do you connect those dots for people? So it's one thing to subscribe to a newsletter, mm-hmm. but it's a whole nother thing to actually have a conversation with people that are taking in all that data and information.
So I haven't found that piece where people are connecting directly with me or, you know, our company, but we'd love for them to.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me say this. I want for people that are listening to this, and I said this to you guys offline, I think sometimes it's valuable, or I should say invaluable, for somebody to create something like what you guys have created with NWA Look. It isn't necessarily branded with a particular real estate agency, right? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, technically anybody in Northwest Arkansas can take that newsletter and say, hey, I want to share this newsletter with you. Yeah. It's put out by some amazing folks here in Northwest Arkansas, and the data is spot on. Mm-hmm. You know, like as they say, it used to be a TV show, but the numbers never lie. Mm-hmm. And
correct.
When you are getting accurate data and information, it becomes hugely helpful to people, whether they are builders or whether they are a couple or an individual that is moving here that really wants to understand where they should buy, what they should be thinking about before they plunk down their hard-earned money to purchase a piece of real estate.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've even had appraisers email me and say how great of a newsletter it is.
That's really nice. That's saying something. So I love hearing that. So talk to me a little bit about how you've looked at historical trends. And how do you try to make sense of those in the newsletter? Because I think also that's really important for people. I know it's funny. There's a house that I look at that for whatever reason, Zillow continues to email me on a regular basis to give me an update on this one house that I happened to look at back in 2016.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed. I think at the time I looked at it, it was valued at around $335,000. It was over on Marks Mill Lane, just off of 265, kind of on the backside of Gully Park. But it was a nice house, nothing fancy, but I just remember tracking that. And for whatever reason, I never unsubscribed from that because it just didn't humor me. And I think that house recently, I just got an email from Zillow about a week or two ago. That house is valued at like $675 or something like that. But I've just watched over time, almost 10 years, watched the value of that house almost double.
Mm-hmm. So I think looking at the historical, you know, records show whether it's a buyer's market, seller's market, or more of a balanced market like we currently are in is more of a balanced market. And so being able to correlate back to the history of what happened prior, we can make predictions based on that too.
Yeah. So what are you thinking about? I mean, I know what the interest rates and all, and I tell people that will listen, the younger folks that I talk to, when I'm like, listen, you know, back in 98 or 99, I would have killed for 6.5% or 7% interest rate on my mortgage. I think I had a great credit, but my mortgage was like 8.25%. And I thought I was doing something.
Yep.
Then I talked to my buddy, Mark Zweig, and he told me about living in Dallas, Texas in the 80s, where he got like 17% and he thought he was doing something. So it's always perspective, right? I think people need to understand and value. And actually 6.5 isn't that bad. If you've got a decent down payment and all, I get it that we went through a period in time with the no income, no asset loans and all of these other, you know, kind of toxic mortgage products that weren't right for the average buyer. Mm-hmm. We're past that. But you know, people were so used to getting really low interest rates that they're like, man, I can't go anywhere else. And I'm like, it was great, But I mean, I never thought that was going to last for forever and a day. And I think people want that were able to take advantage of it, God bless them. But the challenge now is that you have so many people that are holding on to whatever they have because they have such a low rate. And like they're like offended by 6.5% interest.
You're right.
I mean,
I'm also seeing people hold on to their house and then, you know, use some of the equity from it in order to purchase a second house.
Yeah.
Which they probably wouldn't have done before.
Mm-hmm. Either that or now with the law, the passage of this law with the ADUs that was just passed in Little Rock, it's going to be interesting to see what people do. Are people now going to say, you know what? I was going to move my mother into an assisted living facility, but now we're going to build an ADU in our backyard and we're going to move her in. We're going to build a nice place and move her in there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least it gives you options. But the only thing that that doesn't do is it doesn't release any more real estate into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. So that person ends up staying there because there's no need to move because I've got my in-law or my parents taken care of. And, you know, because with the graying of our population, the boomers are getting older. They're retiring. Some of them need some type of assisted living, or they need even over near your office. You've got a great space over there. I know have some friends that have parents over there, and they absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only going to be more of a need for that. That's another type of housing need that exists here in Northwest Arkansas.
Right. Yeah. I met with the city planners 2 weeks ago, and on the ADUs, Fayetteville has always allowed that. Well, not always, but in the most recent history, have allowed for ADUs in your typical residential single-family zoning.
Yeah.
And they said that that is the most underutilized product that they have available for people. They're not seeing people build those ADUs,
which was surprising
to me.
I wonder if it comes back to the infrastructure, though, and being able to tie into a water line and the sewer line and being able to afford to do that.
No, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's interesting. That's a really good point. Yeah, because that does make up, you know, you think about some of the issues. We had such, in the POA where I live, we had such an old sewer line that it burst and it caused damage to four homes. One home almost was totaled, if you will. Like you would think of a car being totaled, but a home being totaled because so much damage because of all the water.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it was a real issue. So, but what are you hearing from, you know, from other people that are taking in the information that you guys are putting out on a regular basis? And what is driving the content that you're sharing on a regular basis?
Good question.
As far as content goes, I feel like Stuart and I get together and collaborate, you know, once a month or every other week and go over what people are talking about, what we hear in the office, what other realtors are talking about and need to know.
Yeah.
And typically, if they're talking about it in the office, that means that other realtors probably don't know the information as well as the public.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. We want to provide real-time, actionable data to empower Northwest Arkansas real estate investors to make decisions.
Yeah.
Or just real estate owners or just tenants. We want to empower, and that goes back to just what you're doing with this podcast. It's like if you provide people with resource, value, solutions, everything tends to work out.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes with this newsletter.
Yeah.
And so I will say that Desiree has a very talented eye for mining data. And she knows exactly what type of numbers that we need to tell a story. And then, you know, sometimes I'll come up with ideas a lot of times on the content.
Yeah. I love that. Well, it's almost like you guys are a tag team. But the thing that I also like about it, what you shared is that, you know, this is a shared resource between the two of you guys in terms of putting it out.
Yeah.
So it's not the Stewart Show.
No, nope, not at all.
That Desiree has, as they say, she has a dog in the fight.
You bet she does.
And so how does that feel for you as far as that's concerned? Because I'm sure when you joined Colliers and Associates, you weren't thinking, oh, I'm going to start a newsletter there and we're going to make this thing happen.
I can't say that was ever on my brain. But I like the collaboration. I feel like we work well together.
We have fun too.
Yeah.
We give each other a hard time.
Yeah.
I like that aspect about it. And I know that sometimes managing brokers can be smothering. Uh-huh. Not you, other managing brokers. but I mean, everything that I know anecdotally and otherwise, and this is just speaking of you, and I might as well, I think everybody deserves their flowers while they can still smell them. But I have a number of friends that work with you guys. And I mean, like, these are real friends and I talk to them all the time. And the feedback that I always get is it's just a joy to work in that environment. And, you know, it's that, you know, Stuart's a servant leader and it's just a really open, holistic environment where really good ideas go to grow and not to die. Right. Because a lot of times you get into some shops and it's like, well, if the head person didn't come up with the idea, then it's dead to them. And so, you know, I have always, you know, you've struck me, Stuart, as someone that has been like, hey, I'm here to germinate whatever idea you have. Bring it. Let's figure it out. I'm gonna put some water on it and let you go and run with it. And that's basically what you've done with this.
Yeah. Yeah. This thing wouldn't even be available if it wasn't for Desiree.
Yeah.
I would have already folded it.
It's true.
It's true. I mean,
I tend to be a driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
She's incredible.
I like that.
And I love your feedback, like, because that's what we want to do. We want to arm people with relevant data. We want people to look at it and go, man, I'm better able to make a decision here.
Sure.
I should probably hold on to my house. Or maybe I should keep my 3% rate and go buy another house and lease this one out.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know that appreciation is going to continue to happen based on reading inventory levels and population increases.
Yeah.
And so that's the whole point. And Des understands that. And Des presents the data in a way. And I think what we've done is we haven't clouded people's reading of the data with an agenda. We're not trying to sell Collier and Associates. We're not trying to trick people into coming over and letting us represent them.
Yeah.
Now, don't get it twisted. If they want our services, we're so happy to oblige, but
absolutely,
there's no games.
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate that. I like that. And I think that's, you know, it's so funny. Again, like I said, I was a broker for 12 years in the Boston area. And whenever I go back to visit, I'm never surprised at the brokerages that are still around because it was.
You called it back then.
Because it was people that, you know, weren't about a transaction. It was all about a relationship.
When are you going to activate a Arkansas real estate?
Oh, no.
Randy.
You keep saying that.
Randy. Here's the deal. I've gotten good. I can call them.
Yeah.
And time's a ticking. Bro.
Yeah. So, no, man, I enjoyed my time in the real estate market. I haven't totally ruled it out, but I've got some other irons in the fire that I'm working on. I love that. So, and you said this a second ago. Can you speak to maybe one or two situations, Desiree, where you were able to maybe share some insights and market analysis that actually helped some buyers make a much more informed decision based on what we have found in NWA look over the last almost 3 years?
So I recently had an investor who was looking at purchasing a house, and it was around the corner from J.B. Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled all the data based on the area. I usually do within the community. If there's none available, I go a half mile radius out to find out what the data is going to show us, whether it's worth renting and purchasing at that purchase price, you know, to see what the ROI is, return on investment for those that don't know.
Right.
And so all the numbers made sense for my investor. And so then they went ahead and proceeded to purchase with 4 other offers on the table.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. And they got the deal?
They did.
Okay. Nice. I love those
stories. So I actually showed them based on, I can't disclose the price yet
because
it hasn't closed.
That's fine.
But it was slightly above the asking price, even in this market.
Yeah.
But it still made sense.
Okay. I love that. I mean, again, I think sometimes people need to know what they're getting into, right? Because there's always the unknown when buying real estate. But if you can provide at least just enough data to kind of connect the dots for a buyer or even to connect the dots for a seller to say, hey, this is a good offer for you to accept.
Yeah.
This is worth considering.
Yeah. And you said it, man. It's what separates being a true real estate professional from maybe just an agent.
An agent, yeah. Well, yeah, because I think the average real estate agent does 4 transactions a year, maybe less than that now. I don't know what the statistic
is.
Do
you know, we were talking about that the other day in the office. 80% did one transaction last year.
Yeah.
And so, I always learned that, you know, if you're going to work with an agent, at least work with someone that has sold one house a month.
I think so.
One house a month at a minimum.
Yeah.
So 12, you know, I mean, we had, you know, because that was always the lowest hanging fruit, right? You want to get at least one transaction a month. That means you're out there working on a regular basis. Because if you do one a year, I mean, that's like not even part time. That's...
Ask them if they know how to pull the comps.
Yes.
Because there's several that don't.
That don't.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So, and, you know, again, a lot of that starts at the top, right? Because people just don't get educated. It's like, oh, I just want to fill these seats and have somebody fog a mirror. But it's so much more than that. I mean, you really want people that represent you. That's why I was saying the people that I know that work with you, these are some really astute individuals that could stand on their own and hang a shingle if they wanted
to.
But they are they are working within the confines of what I would call a really, you know, a well-run machine as far as your organization is concerned. And that's why I really wanted to highlight NWA Look, because that's emblematic of the type of work and the type of product that you put out there for the consumer. Mm. So, that's a nice commercial for us.
You're right. I mean, we've got so many agents that better and smarter and more capable and more knowledgeable than I am.
Yeah.
And I think just recognizing that they could go hang their own shingle and they would be just fine.
Yeah.
But if we can give those people a voice, autonomy, and the ability to spread their own knowledge and great ideas with the rest of the group, keep an abundance mindset, well, then what happens whenever 240 people are doing that and 240 people are sharing best practices with one another? Then we can truly make an impact.
Yeah.
And we can do things like NWA Look to just educate our community, to just give consumers data that is going to put them in a better position for them and their family in the future.
Yeah.
And so it all just kind of goes back to who has the most insight into any business, the person that's closest to the consumer. And the people at the top that don't leverage that insight because they have too much ego to have to make all the decisions, we know how that works.
Yeah. Out.
And I've never been interested in that. Frankly, I don't want all that pressure on my shoulders either.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. So Desiree, I would love to know, how has like your approach specifically as it pertains to NWA Look, how has your approach to market reporting evolved since you started doing the newsletter almost 3 years ago to now? Is there anything you do differently now because of one thing or another?
I've been able to refine what people are reading, what's more interesting to, you know, based on the open rate and other people sharing the information. I can see, you know, people like Days on Market, people like the median sales price. They like the price per square
foot.
Yeah. Price per square foot, you know, those sort of things.
The increases and decreases per city and per county. Yeah. And
breaking it down to, instead of just being a general overall, you know, this is all of Northwest Arkansas, because it's so different in every little pocket.
Yeah. Now, are you finding that other agents are like reporting information to you that maybe you hadn't received that information before? Or do people know that this is something that you do?
I think there's several people know that it's me.
Okay.
I haven't had anybody necessarily bring me any data. I've had people say, you should look into something, and I will.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm open to that.
Sometimes we'll have guest contributors. Like we just had somebody that wrote on the 71B.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Project.
Yeah.
And so that's fun. So if your listeners have something they're passionate about as it relates to real estate, then we're open.
Yeah. I know the agent that wrote that and she's very thoughtful and she's a good writer actually too.
Yes.
So, you know, that was actually one of the things that really caught my eye. And I was like, how have I missed this? You know, and I just, cause I'm doing a million things, but I was like, once I looked into it and then I went into the archives, I was like, oh, this is a really well put together newsletter. I mean, that's the thing that, you know, and so, I mean, that kudos to you, Desiree.
Desiree.
It's a well put together. Yeah. And I said that to you when we talked. I was just like, listen, this is, you know, I was fanboying over just the quality of the newsletter, how it looked, how it came across and how it was presented. Sometimes that's half the battle is like, cause you know, a lot of times you can't get past a thing if it's not wrapped properly.
Mm-hmm.
And NWA Look is wrapped properly. So people that will look at it will say, oh, this is, let me read more. Oh, this is a great article. Oh, let me see what's next. You know, what else is in there? Because after I read the 71B article, I went back to see, are there any other articles of substance like that? You know, and that really, it wasn't just like, oh, this is just a shill for the organization where they're just trying to, you know, get more eyeballs or more phone calls or more ups, as they say. It was so much more than that. It was like, this is a valuable resource in the community. That's why I wanted to highlight it and talk about it, because real estate is a big part of Northwest Arkansas. It just is. I mean, that's why one of the largest companies in the world doubled down and decided to build a behemoth of a campus, of an open campus, mind you, that everybody can partake of, because they see the value of putting back into this local community. And it's, you know, it's not unlike what Sam Walton saw many years ago, because a lot of people say, how did Sam Walton have the vision for Bentonville back in 68? Like, how would he know that Bentonville was going to be what it is today? And I think, you know, and I say this all the time, people probably get tired of me saying it. It's like, when you give back to the city, it will ultimately give back to you. And I think Sam Walton, in his own way, had given tremendously to Bentonville. And then from that respect to the rest of Northwest Arkansas, that all of us collectively benefit from the largesse of, you know, and I get it. Some people may or may not like Walmart. That's neither here nor there. But the largesse that has been created out of Walmart has been beneficial to the whole of Northwest Arkansas. Definitely. So like I tell people, you can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, because trust me, that doesn't work.
And we want them here. We don't want everybody else to pull out with them.
I love the trails.
I love
the
trails.
Opportunities.
I love it all.
I love the restaurants. I love Blake Street.
I love that every major company has representation here in Northwest Arkansas. Even my buddy who's one of the biggest Liker kings in the world, JJ Mays Rainbow out of San Francisco. So shout out to my friend Mark Busson. He's been coming here for 30 years. And he said, the only reason I come here is because Walmart's here.
Of course, they
make us come here. But just little things like that are genius, you know? And it's just, I mean, among other things, I mean, Sam, you know, he definitely watched his pennies and his dimes and his nickels, which is why he did so well and was able to cut costs where and when possible. But I mean, again, we are all benefiting in 2025 from a lot of what was created in the 50s and early 60s here in Northwest Arkansas.
I think it's important to connect to that.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
NWA resident.
Absolutely.
I think that's a very valid point.
Yeah. So, and I just try to mention it again, and I get it. Some people are like, oh, you know, I don't like Walmart, or maybe I do. I don't know, whatever.
And change is always hard for people.
But it is.
You can't tell me there isn't something they enjoy about the change.
And the crazy part is, like, for me personally, I'm a, you know, East Coast boy. I grew up right outside of New York City. We didn't really go to Walmart growing up. I went to places like Corvettes and Caldors and Kmart. And then, you know, and then I've moved all around, and I still wasn't a Walmart person. I didn't become a Walmart person until I got here. But I had read Sam Walton's autobiography, and there was something about him. I was like, oh, you know, there's something about him. And then I've read it three times now, and it's just, I recognized it, you know, because I mean, he's just, he was just, you know, and the thing about Sam Walton personally, and this is not an episode about Sam Walton, but the thing I like about him is that he was a student of people that was succeeding. And so I think about like Saul Price, who started the Price Club, and other organizations. That's Sam Walton got the idea for Sam's Club from Saul Price. And Saul Price was also, Saul Price's apprentice was the guy that started Costco. So yeah, so you kind of connect all those dots. It's like, oh, okay, this all kind of makes sense now. You know, I mean, Sam's Club, I mean, you know, when you look at how Sam's Club was created, it really went from 0 to 1,000 instantly.
Really?
I mean, just like overnight, because Walmart wasn't that big. And then Sam's Club took off, and it was, you know, it's game over.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
It's pretty impressive how quickly things came to be. And it was because Sam majored in the minors when it came to Walmart, that when he was ready to roll out Sam's Club, that thing was like kindling. It really was.
Price, and who was the third one?
So Saul Price, and I want to say his name is Jim Clark. I can't think of the guy's name, but the founder of Costco, he's still alive. He was a student of Saul Price. He worked with Saul Price.
Gotcha.
And Saul Price out in California started the Price Club, which was a precursor to Costco, Sam's, BJ's, all of these like big box wholesale retailers. The Price Club was the first one, and everybody followed Saul Price. Sam Walton did. The founder of Costco's did. All those, that's
were
how
those
they got.
Were those three friends, friendly, they, know
they,
each
I,
other?
I believe they did know each other because, I mean, obviously Sam's dead, but the other two, but yeah, Sam talked about the impact that Saul Price had on him and how that encouraged him to ultimately start Sam's Club.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's some good history out there.
Yeah,
I've had some people, I've had some friends of Sam on the podcast, Andy Davis and Andy Wilson and a few others.
That's
and,
cool.
Yeah. So, you know,
do you think that there was like for those three titans of their industry? And I mean, you know, it sounds like they somewhat shared in some regards. Do you think there was a more of a mindset of like kind of abundance or shared mindset between people back then were titans of those industries?
I think it was. I think you could look at them and say, yeah, they shared a lot of the same information while they could theoretically be looked at as competitors.
That's what I'm saying.
It was like, oh, we're trying to share this information.
Both wildly successful.
Successful. And in that same vein, when you look at Don Tyson, J.B. Hunt, and Sam here and the inception and creation of the Northwest Arkansas Council and just how all of these guys came together, and you could have had all these competing personalities, which they all were big, larger than life, but they all came together and they came together collectively to say, hey, we want to make this area really grow. Mm-hmm. And the council is doing that work to this day because of the three of those guys.
That's right.
And others, you know, Jones Trucking Line and so many others. And so I always get excited when I think about that because Northwest Arkansas, and for those of you listening that haven't moved here yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. I got some realtors right in front of me that can help find you a perfect place. But no, seriously, though, this is fertile ground for entrepreneurship. It really is.
Couldn't agree more.
It really is. And I say that not just from the example that we have for those three titans of industry that were here, and they were kind of complementary of each other because, you know, you had your Tyson Foods in Walmart and you had J.B. Hunt and the logistics piece. You had a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. But then when you look at, you know, what's happening right now today, there's all kinds of opportunities that exist. And all this venture capital money is coming into Northwest Arkansas. All of these entrepreneurs want to set up shop here, A, because it's a great place to live. You can have your cake and eat it, too, as it pertains to the Greenway, like you talked about earlier, as it pertains to going out and floating the Buffalo River and doing all these different things. If you're an outdoors person, this is the place to be. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at all of that, and then you start to kind of think of the amalgamation of what is possible here in Northwest Arkansas. You know, the real estate piece of it ties in perfectly with that, and it helps people to have an understanding of what is possible.
Mm-hmm. I think when you speak about collaboration, typically the realtors that are producing the most are also collaborating, whether it be, you know, another brokerage or not. We typically collaborate at the top.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's next for NWA Look? It's $1 million question.
It is.
Yeah. You're still, you kind of strike me as kind of figuring out one day at a time as you go, which is totally fine. I think
I'm actually a pretty planned person for the most part, but when you put me on the spot, I don't know.
what are you hoping for? If I had to really twist your arm and say in the next 3 to 5 years, what would you like to see NWA Look be able to do?
I think in the future, we plan to grow to probably other markets. And expand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also more sponsorships for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are people
inside the newsletter?
Inside the newsletter. So if somebody wanted to be a sponsor of the newsletter, could they right now?
They can.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So that is available. That's kind of, you have that on right now where if somebody called you after listening to this episode and said, yeah, I heard Randy and talking to you guys, I want to be a sponsor for this newsletter. You have a whole package for them.
I do.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
They can email me, they can call me, whichever one works best for them.
What's your email address?
It's crew, C-R-E-W, at nwalook.com.
Perfect. You got it. C-R-E-W at nwalook.com. The website is nwalook.com. She is Desiree, and we have Stuart Collier with us and Desiree Stock, and they are really doing something special with this newsletter. And so I want to thank you guys for coming out today and joining me to share a little bit about what you're working on. And just know you have a fan in me and that I will continue to share this newsletter with everybody both near and far. And I'll push it out on our newsletter. I know that's meta, but on our newsletter, we will share your newsletter and a link where people could sign up to get some helpful advice and data. Because again, I think sometimes it's just good to have your finger on the pulse of where the real estate market is. And I think NWA Look is one way that you can do that.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah,
appreciate you having us on and being interested in what we're doing at NWA Look.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thank you. We really appreciate it.
You guys are doing something special, so I appreciate you guys both. So thank you for joining me, and hopefully we'll have you back, and maybe we'll have to have a follow-up conversation just about the real estate market. I've always wanted to do kind of like check-ins where you say, hey, you know, what's happening in the market now? And, you know, you know, Desiree, you could be like, hey, this is what's happening. This is what we're seeing.
And here's some new developments.
Here's some new developments, some things to know about.
They finally figured out sewer in Westinghouse.
Yeah.
They're about to bring on 1,200 more houses.
Yeah. I mean, that information's valuable because people want to know that.
That's what we know. I mean, that's what she knows, all that stuff.
Yeah. So.
And if there's any developers who want us to produce their new developments, we're happy to share that information as well.
Yeah. We can highlight that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to work that out. So, I'll talk with you some more about that. I have some ideas. So maybe we can explore some options on doing something with a little bit more frequency, because I think cadence is important when you're putting something out, just like you found as putting out this newsletter. Yeah. And it comes out every week.
Correct. Yes. Every Thursday morning.
Every Thursday morning, like clockwork. So, I'm going to encourage everybody to get a subscription to NWA Look. And currently it's still free, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So, but that could change.
It could change.
So, you know, you never know.
You might have some highlighted articles.
You might have to gatekeep a few things and be like, yeah, this is really special, valuable information.
Yeah.
Well, no, you laugh.
Some of that deep data. Yeah.
Listen, this is a true story. This morning I was listening to a podcast with Dr. Peter Attia, and he's a really world-renowned doctor. And he talks about all kinds of stuff. He talks about longevity. Mm-hmm. And so I was listening to this episode, and it was basically a teaser for the whole episode. And he was like, if you want to get this, you have to subscribe you have to be a regular subscriber to get that. But then when you do, you get everything. And, you know, his show notes are legendary because he really puts a lot of time and effort into it. It's like reading the Journal of American Medicine. That's how good it is. And so, but I signed up. I went and signed up. It's like $19 a month.
Valuable.
It's valuable. Mm-hmm. It's valuable information. And it's just like, you know, you just never know where people are consuming the data and information. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm sure there's some people that have been reading your newsletter that are like, yo, this is a game changer for me.
Definitely.
So, I want to encourage people to continue to do that.
Thank you.
And if you're just discovering NWA Look, if you go there and you sign up, please let them know that you heard about it first here at the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. We would really appreciate that. But that's all we have for this week. We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Remember, our episode comes out every Monday, rain or shine. We are available on every major podcasting platform, including YouTube. We've got a lot more videos coming out in the coming months and into the end of this year. And so I really want to encourage you to look out for that. We also have some sponsorship spots still available. So if you're interested in sponsoring one of the longest running podcasts in Northwest Arkansas, I would encourage you to do that. Remember, you can also hear us on KUAF 91.3 FM on Ozarks at Large, typically every Tuesday, both at 12 o'clock and at 7 p.m. in the evening, as well as it replays in Little Rock as well at 7 o'clock in the evening. So I really want to encourage you to check out our podcast. If you don't have time to listen to a whole episode, you have time to listen to an excerpt from one of our episodes each week on Ozarks at Large, KUAF 91.3 FM. That's all I have for you today. I will see you back here next week with another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit iamnorthwestarkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.